Hey, welcome to Frame of Mind. This is Aaron.
I'm Matt.
And this week we're going to talk a little bit about Get Out. Seriously, Get Out.
Yeah, it was pretty
Get Out.
Ah, okay.
Kind of a weird one, but let's get into it.
You shall not pass!
Excuse me, bitch. You don't need to shout.
I volunteer as tribute.
Do not talk about Fight Club.
Why so serious?
I could do this all day.
So yeah, Get Out. It's a really interesting semi-thriller, semi-make you think about it. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I wanted to see this. I saw a preview for it on an airplane, and I was like, this looks really interesting. For some reason, I like these weird, like, kind of under-the-radar thrillers.
And it's kind of weird.
Yeah, no, it looked weird, and that's what pulled me in. It reminded me a lot of, had the same kind of feel as The Witch. I don't know if you saw.
No, I didn't.
The Witch, oh, it was really good. But that's why I was excited to see it. I wanted a good excuse to see it, and this week we didn't go to the theaters. We were like, what do you want to watch? So we're like, hey, try something a little different.
Yeah, so it's a little older. This episode might not be as long as our other episodes, but... Also, it's quite late at the moment, so we're going to pump this out and hopefully give you just a little bit of insight into this movie. Like I said, it was an interesting one, and I think as we talk more about it, I can't quite decide if it was meant to be a racial commentary or not, but it seems weird to kind of blend a racial commentary with a thriller and something that's really that strange.
Yeah, it was definitely... I don't know if it was supposed to be just a different outlook on your casual, normal thriller, you know? I mean, I feel like most thrillers and scary movies, you have certain tropes that it falls into, and it seems like certain people end up dying usually. That's a known trope. Everybody does that. And so I like that in this one, you know, it's all centered around that. So you're like, your main character's black, and... You know, he's the protagonist, so he's obviously centered around him. He's not just some bystander that can be killed off or whatever. In, you know, most scary movies, I feel like that you see nowadays. Is that completely racist? I don't know.
I don't know either. So, what do you think about his acting then? Like, his acting, other people's acting. Do you want to jump into that?
Yeah. Well, let's go over a summary real quick.
That's probably better.
Good idea. All right. Why don't you give us the summary?
So it starts out, we've got, you know what? They never address that.
What?
Or, oh no, they do. I just put that together.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The opening scene, black guy walking down the street in a white suburb, all of a sudden goes missing.
Oh, and we don't know who it is. Oh, my goodness.
But then later we find out who it is.
Oh, yeah. And you don't even put it together because...
You forget about it by the time it comes back.
Yeah, for real.
Huh. And we paused the movie a couple times.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so the movie starts out. This black guy's walking down the street. It's dark. And this white car pulls up, very significant of the rest of the movie. This white car pulls up.
Right, and you see the car later in the movie, too.
My goodness.
And how we didn't see that before, I don't know.
You're kidding.
No.
Whoa.
You remember
okay,
that?
This episode's going to be good because we're thinking things out as we're talking. Cool.
Oh, man. That might be a spoiler.
That's a big-time spoiler.
Is that a spoiler?
No, because we didn't say anything yet.
No, because, I mean...
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you start out, you see the movie... Really, like, intense opening scene making you wonder, okay, this movie's about killing people, black people. Because that's kind of what the previews and everything else makes you think, that this, like, black guy is being sent into this family, awkward social event, and he doesn't want to be there.
He's going to, like, the in-laws, meet his girlfriend's family, is the whole premise, right?
And he starts out, he's like, did you tell him I'm black? And she's like, ah, why would that even matter? And she plays this really coy, like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. My dad would have voted for Obama for a third term. And then he gets there, and his dad basically repeats that same thing. So you get this idea that the family maybe...
maybe has a hint. I mean, the dad was down to earth, right?
Right.
He was much more lax. He made you feel comfortable.
They're just a normal family, like any other family.
Right.
But, so, you get to know him a little bit, and then some strange things start happening. You meet some other people there at her parents' house. And these other people, they are strange. They're, like, not socially there.
Right.
And then...
then some other stuff happened.
Everyone else.
That will probably... that's about as far as I think we can go.
Yeah. I mean, the rest really gets into spoilers. But something happens with the family. Something happens with the guests. And you find out that there's some sort of thing going on. This is so vague. And that really sucks. I don't know. I feel like everyone by now has probably seen it. If they want to or not.
Right. Well,
but
I think they should. Let's just go right into ratings real quick. Overall ratings for people. I thought this was pretty awesome. I actually really enjoyed it. There were certain parts that I didn't that kind of just rubbed me the wrong way. But other than that, as a thriller, psychological thriller, I thought it was good too. So I don't know. I'd give it. Let's see. What's my rating scale this time? I'll give it a thumb. I'll give it 1 out of 2 thumbs.
1 out of 2 thumbs.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm glad we didn't see it in the theater. I don't know that I would have wanted to pay even half of a ticket for it.
We'd probably have less distractions going on, though, in the theater than we did here.
That's true. I don't know. I'm still not the biggest fan.
Okay. That's fine.
And maybe it's just hard for me to... detach my confusion with a lot of what was going on and my frustration for the way things ended. But overall, I think the actors did a good job, so okay. Maybe I would have paid a buck or two for the ticket.
Well, now let's talk about that. Tell me about Daniel Kaluuya. I believe that's how you say it. He was the main character. What did you think of his performance?
I don't know. At times, it felt like he was trying to play this cool, calm, and collected persona, and then throughout the course of the movie I felt like that almost lacked emotion in times when there should have been a lot more emotion in time, and like there were just these strange outbursts. Like you'd get a phone call from Rod and all of a sudden this emotion like comes out like
right.
Boom, and maybe that's because that was his home and there's this like connection to his roots. And every other scene, he's uncomfortable because he's in this new place. But right. He did a solid job acting.
Yeah, no, I think he did. I mean, okay, well, you finish. Continue on.
As far as other characters, I like Rose, but without going into spoilers, I don't like who she becomes. And I think that actually may be something that you liked about her, but I don't like the stoicism that comes in later. With everyone else, they're just so vague that they could be good actors, they could be bad actors. Their roles weren't significant enough to really matter.
I was just more impressed with the lineup of actors. I feel like I recognized almost every face in here, you know?
Which is impressive for Jordan Peele's first movie.
Yeah.
First feature film. I guess they did Keanu.
Yeah.
But this is just him, and solid. Much better than Keanu.
Right. So for me... Daniel, what was interesting immediately, I noticed that he's in Black Mirror, one of my favorite TV shows. A lot similar, very similar to this.
That's where I recognized him from. Yeah. I have seen Black Mirror. Okay.
He's the guy that holds the glass up to his neck. You know, he's in that simulated experience all day where he's on the bike.
Right.
Whatever. And finally, his friend has a chance to make it big or something. But
this was a much better performance.
Yeah. I agree. It was definitely a bigger spectrum, wider spectrum.
Absolutely. I mean,
poor guy in the Black Mirror episode was just depressed the entire time. Barely got to be happy for like 2 seconds. Then he was just suicidal. So it's like, it wasn't a huge play on emotions. I mean, it was emotional, but this was a whole swing, a whole range. Like you said, like sometimes all of a sudden he was very nervous. He was very scared. He was noticing something was wrong. And he's about to do something about it. He's emotional. And then it was like he was brought back into it. Like, no, this is stupid. This is whatever, I'm just going crazy. This is fine. Let's just keep going. I'm making things too big of a deal.
Right.
I feel like that came through, and I felt like, I mean, it wasn't the best performance I've ever seen by far, but it was good, and I was excited for him. Looking into his career, looks like he's going to be in Black Panther, which I'm excited for. I think that'll be a step up, you know, a big movie.
Right.
He's been in a few other big movies, but hopefully he has a big time role there. That'd be awesome.
Right. I feel like he could definitely be one of the actors that starts getting in more and more bigger name, higher listed movies. It's cool.
Sweet.
And I feel like this one was overall pretty good for everyone that was in it.
Yeah. I can agree with that. Okay, production. Anything stick out to you? Non-spoilers about production or...
So there was a time that I didn't quite understand if it was intentional or not. When he goes upstairs to get his phone and he comes back down, back into like the sea of white people at the event, it was really overexposed, and I couldn't tell if it was meant to like simulate that he was coming back down and he was just surrounded by white people. And so they overexposed that shot to make it feel like...
Just you see all white.
Just overwhelmed, and he's right. Really the only one that's not. And I think if that were the case, they could have done it better, made it more intentionally. That way, it really just felt like a terrible shot, and I questioned why it was there. But for the rest of the movie, I think set design was really good. It's pretty easy when you're kind of filming out in the middle of a forest, and...
Right.
There's really nothing else. Just outdoor shots, occasional indoor shots.
Didn't have to do not much CGI complex. Or anything.
Yeah,
this.
Not at all. I think the deer would have been the only thing.
Well, the deer, and you know, there is hypnosis in this, and so there's some.
That's true.
There's some visualization efforts there that go into kind of what's going on when they're hypnotized, and I mean that's decent. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say anything special. No risks.
So
but I mean, that being said, I did feel the tension the entire time. I love scary movies because of what they do to me. I feel like I'm always, you know, really affected by it because I'm like, oh man, I'm anxious. I'm anticipating, you know, the turn around the next corner or whatever, what's gonna happen. So yeah, I thought it was pretty good because there wasn't anything that creative of like, you know, film angle or anything, cinematography. It was well done. Yeah. I think production wise,
that's more of the story that we probably could have shared that weren't spoilers. So when he gets there, he finds out that her dad is a neurosurgeon and her mom is a hypnotist psychiatrist.
Right.
And so they're both way into the brain. They're both kind of oddly communicating with each other, but there's also this like unspoken kind of awkwardness and tension between him that builds throughout the rest of the movie as well.
I don't think needed to be there.
Yeah. And then they introduce her brother, and her brother's like crazy and
drunk, kind of.
Yeah, like
rude, disrespectful, kind of in people's faces, and yeah.
Makes it
so
really,
like a normal
really
time, you know?
Yeah. Pretty normal family function.
Yeah. Okay.
But then there's also things that as he walks in, I noticed a lot of little placements. Like they say that down in the basement there's black mold.
Right.
And I feel like that's kind of symbolic of what goes on in the basement.
For sure.
That you'll find out later. Like remnants of dirty old things that didn't have a purpose.
Yeah, careful, non-spoilers.
I know. It's such a weird movie, though. But I'm actually, the more I think about it, the more impressed I am.
Yeah, no. It's kind of hard doing this right after because you still haven't let it sink in what was going on. What I really liked was, we kind of touched on this, and hopefully this isn't spoilers, but, you know, every once in a while when he started to get... His character's name is Chris, by the way. So when Chris would start
Chris Washington.
When he would get a little nervous or start to question what was going on, I felt this was awesome. Like his girlfriend, you know, kind of challenged him like, oh my goodness, you think so-and-so was giving you a dirty look? Like, are you jealous? And just tease him kind of thing. And it kind of made him like, oh, well, I need to just brush this off, you know, show my girl what's up. And just be calm. Obviously, I'm overreacting. I don't want to make her mad, kind of thing. And that happened a few times.
Several times.
And I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's a good use of what's going on. A good use of, you know, what would happen in real life, I feel like. My ego is going to overcome my fear of my surroundings. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
kind of like what, if you remember the scene from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, when Daniel Craig is caught outside, you know, after having broken into the guy's house and he's running away. And the guy says, oh, come on in, I'll give you a drink. And then he says, it's funny how your impulse to disappoint or to be rude is greater than your impulse to flee when you know something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, you knew something was up. You should have just kept running. But he didn't. And so we all know how that turned out.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, any overall thoughts before we go to spoilers?
I'm trying to think. I think overall, everything else I want to say is a spoiler.
Okay. Well, just, here we go. Spoilers, get into it. Lay it on thick. Let's hear it.
Oh my gosh. So, like, of course, you know it's coming, and that was frustrating. As soon as he decides to go out and smoke a cigarette, you know that he's going to get hypnotized, or you start to wonder if maybe he already is.
Right.
But then it just happens. And so there's these weird things that you don't understand what are going on. The groundskeeper guy just runs at him straight on, doesn't stop, and then last minute turns out of his way.
Right.
And then he sees the lady in the window looking at her reflection, and these people, like, aren't there. And then he gets hypnotized, and it's like, we knew this was going to happen.
That was one thing I didn't like. They didn't really, I mean, they kind of explain he's using this teacup to hypnotize people. Let's do a quick summary, spoiler, so people can follow what we're talking about. So what happens, he goes with his girlfriend to his possible future in-laws, her parents' house, and they're kind of weird. There's the racial card going on, you know, is it neutral zone, or are they, you know, racist at all? Turns out they're a little racist, and then they have this huge party going on, apparently, this week. What a coincidence. Like, you think that, you're like, this girl didn't.
It's not the same time every year.
Yeah.
Yes,
so you immediately start to suspect, you know, is the daughter in on this? Is the girlfriend in on this kind of thing? And
they're all dressed for, like, a funeral. Everyone's wearing black.
Was everyone wearing black?
Yeah.
I didn't notice
All of the guests are wearing black.
Wow.
And they all showed up in black cars.
That I didn't notice. So, okay. Sorry. To continue on with the summary, then I'll come back to things. Okay, so he goes, he notices that, you know, there's a couple other black people there, but they're acting super weird, super strange, just like not any normal person would act. And, like, he goes to fist bump somebody and they shake his hand. It's like, well, that's, what the F, you know. And then progression develops a little bit. He gets hypnotized one night as he's walking around by the mom.
The first night.
Yeah, the first night he gets hypnotized. But then he thinks it's a dream. I don't know if I'm getting too into this right now. But I feel like it's important for people to know what's happening.
Keep going.
So, and help me remember exactly what's happened. But you find out, okay, he's getting hypnotized. Things are going a little crazy. His girlfriend keeps telling him, like, calm down. And his buddy, his TSA agent buddy,
Who's watching his dog
for him, keeps calling him and keeps telling him, like, bro, you're in a weird situation. Get out of there.
Like sex slaves and shit.
Yeah, exactly. And telling him, like, what's up? Like, this is what's really going on. You need to get out of there. And then his girlfriend's like, calm down. Like, you're blowing things out of proportion. But that's just what girls are good at, right? Calming us down, making us focus on something else. Maybe not calming us down. But anyway, where was I?
So she tries to distract him from stuff. And he just, like, every little turn, he's starting to feel like there's something going on more and more and more.
Right.
Especially the way that they, like, So they show off this other black guy. She's like, oh, so-and-so wanted to meet you or see you. And so...
Right, and everyone's wanting to know all about Chris. They're like, oh, Chris, let me come look at you. And they, you know, some chick grabs his arm, filling his muscles. Some other guy asks, like, you know, are you a good golfer? Are you in, let's see your swing.
And the lady that felt his muscles, remember, her husband was on an oxygen tank.
Yeah. So basically what we find out, as he freaks out and runs, you know, to the edge of the lake, you know, to talk to his girlfriend, like, we need to get out of here. They hold a silent, literal silent auction for him. And all these people...
Like, they've got a picture of him up at the front.
Right.
They're holding up fingers for, I assume, how much money.
Yeah, they're bingo cards, and they're like, let's... I want him. I want this guy. You know, anyway, they auction him off. And then we find out he's become hypnotized. She put in, like, some secret word that she can just... So didn't she say a secret word to make him sleep?
No, it was all the teacup.
It was all the teacup. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
At least the bases are covered with that one. Because I have some issues with what's going on here. Anyway, they hypnotize him. They strap him down to a chair. And you find out what's really happening. He watches this movie how, hey, we're going to pull a Fringe on you. Not the first time I've mentioned Fringe on this podcast in our four short episodes, but we're gonna take some of your brain, or we're gonna take some of our client's brain and put it in your body, and you're gonna
control the body.
Yeah, so they control the body somehow and live through you,
which is weird, because like the ones that we saw, the groundskeeper and Georgina, the like maid, they seem like they're living such a miserable life.
Right. They're not happy. They don't look happy.
Right.
They look like... I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe the facial expressions are more the original owner than the new host.
Right. And languages. It's definitely not the language of the original person.
It is an older Phil. We see that. And when we said that certain people are acting strange... All the black people are acting like old people, like old Southerners.
Yeah. And there is a moment where he's like, man, this stuff is so weird. And so he decides to take a picture of the other guy, and he accidentally has his flash on when he takes the picture. And the flash causes him to, like, snap out of this trance, this hypnosis that he's in. And he just, like, charges at him and tells him to get out. And so at that moment, he knows, like, okay, something is really messed up. Right. And he decides to send the picture to his friend Rod. And then later in a conversation he's having with his friend Rod, Rod recognizes the dude. He's like, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so from so-and-so.
And then at that point, Chris recognizes him, too, and is like, oh, my goodness, I knew him. And that's when he starts blowing things out of proportion, quote, air quotes there. And then his girlfriend comes in and questions him again, and...
And he's like, we got to go now.
Yeah. Or is that when he starts really saying we got to go now? Then you find out, you know, that the brother's in on it, you know, as well. And then they all are pretty much there. She's trying to find her keys. And then
he sees a door open. He opens a box in the open door. And he sees picture of black boyfriend after black boyfriend after black boyfriend and black girlfriend.
Right.
And earlier, he suspected that Georgina, the maid, also had feelings for Rose. Like, the way that she talked...
No, I thought she was saying that Georgina just didn't like her being with him, as if...
Jealous.
Yeah, she was jealous of her. But I took that as...
Right. I mean,
It could have just been a friend, is the way I looked at that, though. Like, hey, why don't you come meet my folks for
that
the week?
That makes sense.
I didn't really look at it that way.
I mean, it's 2017, anything could happen.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, at the very beginning, she's pretty clear when she tells him that he's the only black boyfriend she's had.
Right.
And so all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, you are just a flat-out liar now.
Now we know she's bad, but he's still, for some reason, pretending like she's cool, she's fine.
Which
there's
seems
probably
so
a
dangerous.
Reasonable explanation. At that point, his emotions are going crazy. I can understand still kind of trusting her. But he obviously suspects something. He's like, let's go. And he's trying to get out of the front door. The whole family stops him. And we find out Well, she wasn't looking for the keys. She found them. She just isn't going to give them to him. She's in on it as well.
Yeah.
And we know him for sure.
And it now makes sense that she was so against the police officer asking for his ID.
Yeah.
Because she didn't want the police officer to know, like, okay, he came here and now he's missing.
Right.
And the last time a police officer saw him was on the road down to their house.
Whereas what I expected the entire time was that the police knew about it.
He was part of it. Right. Yeah. Right.
That, oh, the police are owned, not owned, but, you know, basically know what goes on and yada, yada, yada. Which brings up another movie. Don't know if you saw. I'll bring it up later when I remember what it's called. But anyway, continue on. So he gets captured by the family. They strap him down. That's when they tell him, you know, we're going to transplant your brain or do this neurosurgery or whatever. And what ends up happening is he has this nervous tic that we see every time he's hypnotized that he scratches. And in this chair, there's this, like, padding. And he scratches away the padding, and there's cotton in the pad, right? What he does is takes that out. I was super stoked that I called it.
I was impressed. I had no idea.
I was like, oh, yep, put that in your ears, you know. So he sticks the cotton in his ears. And because what happens is the TV that he's strapped up in front of has the sound and the picture of the teacup come and hypnotize him. Yada, yada, yada. He goes to sleep. Then they perform brain surgery. Life's over. So he sticks it in, doesn't get hypnotized, and that's when stuff starts getting good.
Right. And then the next, like, 10 minutes are super intense, and then it's the end of the movie.
And I was honestly expecting this to have a bad ending because I was like, this is just over. He thinks he's going to get away. They're showing us some, like, sliver of hope that, hey, he might kill all these people and get out of here and live. And, you know, that's what you hope for. And I was just expecting the whole time to be let down, be like, nope, it's one of those other ones that you're wrong. Your main character's dead. Mm-hmm. Nothing you can do about it. But he freaking does it with the help of his TSA agent friend, which I couldn't get over.
Which was kind of weird. Like, okay, you showed up in a cop car, but you're not a cop. Where'd you get the cop car?
Yeah. Obviously, we don't understand.
Some strange unanswered questions there.
So his TSA buddy was like the realism, but also the like comic relief of the movie, which was oddly placed.
Yeah, especially at the very end. Like, you've got several people lying on the ground around him. And he's just been through this really traumatic event, and then he's like, I'm in the TSA. And, like, yeah. Really, that's not a place for humor. Like, this guy's traumatized by the weekend he just had.
Yeah, well, and the fact that his character, I feel like what he would have done, gotten out of the car and be like, I told you, you know, made some big ordeal and whatnot, like, and would have been scared, wouldn't have been like, okay, we got this. We're good. Like, wouldn't you think that other people are trying to chase you? I don't know.
Yeah. So, in all these spoilers, we just gave the summary. Now, what about production? Is there anything you wanted to talk about with that?
Yeah. Well,
spoiler related?
It might be more story. No, I think it's production. I think it's the research into being hypnotized. Now, I didn't go look what research they did. And what little I know about it is I talked to someone who actually does hypnotism, and he kind of told us how it works. My friends and I told us what's going on, you know, in the brain when someone becomes hypnotized. Number one, they have to allow you. And what they have to allow you to do it, because what they end up doing is trying to trick your brain by saying, you know, I am your new conscience voice. Voice of your conscience. So I have to start out by saying things that you will do willingly, and you do them, and your mind just starts to accept my voice as your will, you know. And the deeper and more things that you're more accepting of doing, the more you're like, okay, I'm okay with this. And then you're more suggestive. Does that make sense at all?
Typically, if you have a strong, like, moral compass or if you have a very strong set of ethics, you, even when hypnotized, it's really hard for you to go against that.
Right. I have a buddy, both of our buddies, Cameron. He was hypnotized, and it was hilarious to watch him. He didn't remember it. He didn't know. He said he kind of remembered what was going on, but like, he was like there but sleeping kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it was really interesting to hear about that and how you have to be willing. So that initial willingness, I wish they would have clarified a little more about how did they get him to initially be hypnotized. You know, right. Did it start out with the daughter? Was the daughter like?
Did she kind of set the stage?
Yeah. Did she do anything?
Because when he's getting hypnotized, he's like, he's crying. You can tell that she's bringing these really strong emotions back.
Right.
And maybe it's through those emotions that he begins to allow it. But at the same time, like, I feel like that would be the moment where he's like, okay, I'm done with this. I don't want this.
Because those questions became very, very upfront and intrusive that, you know, anyone would have put up barriers.
Exactly.
Know? And so it's like, no, I really felt like I wish there was something more distinct. Like the girlfriend, I could see this, you know, convinced him to come along. That was one thing, you know, convinced him to do something else. That was another thing. And these are all acts of the hypnotism, you know, but I wish it was more deliberate that we could look back and see that, or, you know, they reference like, hey, did you put him through these checklist items so that he was more susceptible to me hypnotizing him when I actually did get to sit down with him?
Right, like maybe she had conditioned him for the teacup.
Exactly,
or,
exactly.
And maybe she did. It's just frustrating that that's not answered or it doesn't explain it.
Or it's just not prominent enough that right. We can understand. I mean, that's what I was looking for. I was looking for those cues or anything that would, you know, suggest that that's what actually happened. Instead, it was much more a mystical type thing to me. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So that was one thing in the production that I didn't love. The other thing that I can't, this is more story, I think, or world building, I'm not sure, is they never explained why it's black people.
So they kind of do, and that's where it frustrates me that it feels like this was racial commentary. Because as soon as he asks, like, why is it black people, then the big white guy that just bought him,
right,
just won him at the auction, is like, well, it's just the way it is, sorry.
Well, he said he didn't care. And we kind of believe that because it turns out the guy that bought him knew him previously.
Yeah.
Because Chris is a photographer, and he submitted things to an art gallery, and that art gallery was run by this guy who bought him. And so he's the art gallery guy is now blind and wants to see again. So he wants to be able to see through Chris's eyes. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But like, so to him, I can believe he doesn't care. He didn't care what race you were. He wanted his art. But then why are all the other people black?
Yeah.
You know, why weren't they just capturing whoever they could? Like that was never answered.
Yeah, but it, at the same time, part of it kind of is, because you see the little brother's reaction, like, you've got this genetic makeup that can make you a beast.
Right.
And so maybe, like, there's this family racism that they've passed down from generation to generation.
And
part
I think that's what it is.
Elite order.
I mean, obviously, that's what it is. It's just this cliche Southern type family,
right?
You know, that's just how they are. They're racist,
and that's where, like, I don't know that I like this approach to, like, quiet, subdued racial commentary,
overtones and stuff.
Right, like it just feels like they're trying to make a statement with the movie, which I understand. There's a lot of things that should probably be talked about in our culture, but I think a much more open commentary, like the movie Hidden Figures, is a fantastic example of history showing a real injustice with certain people in our country and an entire race. The fact that they're looked at as just kind of the servants still, like they're the computers, they're the people that they just throw all the mundane mathematics at that they don't want to do. And I feel like that was such an effective way to use race, to use our culture in the United States to show, look, there are amazing people. Who cares what your race is? There's amazing people that have not had recognition. And with this movie, it could have been, sometimes it's kind of like this to walk into a big white group of people. If you're a black person dating a white girl and her family doesn't know that you're black, it could probably feel like that.
Right.
Like, I have no doubt about that. But at the same time, where it's so crowded with this really odd element of this elitist group that is taking the body,
which is a science. That was the other, okay, just as a movie,
it's
production,
a blend of weird things that don't work together.
I feel like they would have succumbed to money before they would have come to, let's use this for our own personal gain that doesn't really afford us much. Like,
right,
that's a surgery that would, I mean, they'd be set for all generations of time. They would be completely fine. They didn't really explain the coagula.
Coagula, yeah.
I don't know what that is. I don't know if I'm supposed to know what that is.
It was like, because when they said coagula the first time, it showed the caterpillar turning into a butterfly.
Well, I think that was a human. I think humans genetically modified that is what I took from that. I don't know if that's correct or not.
I don't know. I kind of feel like it was taking one organism and repurposing it to become a much more beautiful organism.
Yeah.
Or have further abilities than they did before. But yeah, that's super interesting because throughout the course of the movie, as I just mentioned
earlier, it turned
into
like a huge sci-fi almost, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, this is a huge pivot from this thriller, crazy family, hypnotism, okay, I can respect that. But then all of a sudden to put in, you know, not just neurosurgery, but like the fringe science, to quote again, fringe, like, mm-hmm. I felt like it was a complete pivot, and now we're watching some sci-fi thriller, and I just didn't know how to feel about that.
Yeah. But, I mean, as a movie overall, plot-wise, it was really interesting because there were so many other elements that tied back in.
What?
Like, you see that the older guy, she goes up and feels his muscles. Obviously, the older guy's on his way out, and so they're wanting to replace his brain into someone else.
It's a lot like the skeleton key, only more physical. You ever see the skeleton key?
No.
For those... Well, I guess I spoiled it for everybody.
Good going, man.
Yeah. It's more spiritual, but they do the exact same thing. Yeah, one thing that I loved about this movie, I felt they did so good with symbolism. The deer, so they hit a deer as they're on their way to the parents' house. And Chris runs back to go look at this deer to see what's going on. We don't really understand why he goes back. We think he cares, whatever. We find out later that his mom had gotten hit by hit and run. And nobody went back. He didn't even go back when she didn't come home, when she was 3 hours late. And I don't know, was she close by or something? Someone said all someone needed to do was, you know, to be out looking for her because she ended up bleeding to death. She wasn't killed by the hit of the car.
Cold and alone till the morning when she died.
Right. So that was very interesting to me that, you know, it showed him there, you know, he'd hit this deer or they had hit this deer. He ran back. It was like his mom, basically, that symbolism. And then even when he's strapped in the chair, he got this dead deer staring in front of him. I kept thinking that he was being hypnotized and that really that was going to turn out to be his mom that was up there for some reason. I guess I was going to take it a darker turn. So for me, that was motivation for him. Like, that's my mom. I got to fight through this somehow kind of thing. So it was something that I really enjoyed about that. And then The last thing that I like about his mom's story.
That's giving me goosebumps, man. I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, it was cool.
Now the deer makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And then he used that to
allow
for his freedom.
Right. Well, and the last thing that is going back to his mom is instead of choking his girlfriend to death who's been shot, you know, he decides to leave her to die and bleed out alone in the cold. And which is great, because you basically...
It becomes this therapeutic, like, yeah. Okay, I'm over this portion of my life.
Exactly. So I love that. And then I hated the TSA agent bit that took us completely out of that.
Right.
Just pick up your friend and go be done. Like, the humor was okay where it was. It was very Key and Peele, mm-hmm. you know? And I could stand it, because it broke the tension for a moment, let you, you know, stop biting your nails for a minute and then, you know, regroup and come back. But then at the very end there, I just didn't like that. It just...
Yeah.
It ruined the end, the feel of the movie for me.
Like, it wasn't a comedy at all. It's a thriller. And so ending on a funny note really doesn't do anything but frustrate you as a viewer.
Right. And he's sitting in the car. He didn't even laugh. It would have been one thing if he had laughed. If he had laughed at the joke of his TSA buddy, like, mm-hmm. I would have felt like, okay, he's laughing at the situation.
The whole mood's been lightened.
He's not laughing at the situation. He's obviously, like, traumatized, but he's just like, get me the F out of here. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I definitely think it could have been super effective to just have them back out, not another word for the rest of the movie.
Right.
And it could have been a whole minute straight of them just driving in the car.
If there was any comedy, it would have been him just saying, told you so.
Told you.
Done.
Yeah.
I could have dealt with that. I think that would have been funny.
Absolutely.
But so overall, spoilers for me, like I said, I enjoyed it. I usually enjoy thrillers that are a little on the edge, a little strange. I'm giving it one thumb. That still means it's good in my book.
Yeah.
Two thumbs. I think I'd watch it again.
I'd give it 2 out of 4 stars.
Something like that.
Maybe 2.5.
If you buy half of a ticket, you'd see half the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
sounds good.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting movie. I think it's worth watching at least once.
Right.
If you're into thrillers and stuff like that. But I think that about wraps it up, right?
Just about.
Anything else you wanted to say?
Nope. That's about it for me. So if you liked this episode and enjoyed listening to our critiques, feel free to like us or subscribe or comment at
frameofmind.reviews. We also have an email address, frameofmind.reviews@gmail.com. You can subscribe to us on Google Play Music or iTunes, or you can just listen to us at our website, frameofmind.reviews. There's no .com, just frameofmind.reviews. Thanks so much for listening. It's been a good show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. This is Aaron.
This is Matt.
And get out.
A.A. Ron.
Look, I'm gonna be totally honest with you. I forgot you're here.
It's over. Go home.